Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grim Scenarios. I'm your host, Milk, here with your other host, Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hello, Milk. How's it going today?
I'm doing just fine. I'm excited to be here with you again and with our special guest, Mullibok. Hello, Mullibok.
Hello.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here talking about what is, in fact, my very favorite character.
Your very favorite character. Publicly on the record, Mully's favorite character.
This was not news.
We're going to be talking about it, and we're going to reference it, but not say the word, of course.
Yeah, the character we're talking about, of course, today is the Noble. Its ability is you start knowing three players, one, and only one of which is evil. And its flavor text is, sarcasm is indeed the lowest form of wit, but speaking in response to your criticism, sir, it is nevertheless a form of wit.
Straight to the heart, really, that one.
Yeah, the Noble has no prior versions we know of, and no jinxes. It's a character that just sort of works.
Just sort of works, yeah. Molly, what are your sort of general thoughts about the Noble? What sort of, like, the, you know, you like this character a lot. Why don't you kind of give us just a sort of standard, like, kind of your broad thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think the Noble is the epitome of a great first night you start knowing character that is very flexible, can fit on any script. Any script in the world is going to be concerned with this question of who is good and who is evil. And it's got this great mix of a little bit of, you know, you get an indication of an evil player, a little bit of, you don't know anything for sure at the beginning, and you have to, like, solve and world build and compound with others' information and what happens in the game to figure out what's going on with you. It's been around for a long time as far as experimentals go, and it just keeps standing the test of time.
Yeah, it's, well, of the Starch Stone character, it's, I would say, the jack of all trades, almost. It's not the best at what any of the Starts Knowing characters can do. It doesn't find evils the best. It doesn't find good players the best. It doesn't narrow worlds the most. But it does all of those things a little bit. And that makes it, like, just super flexible. It fits in well with basically everything.
Yeah, and because it fits in well with basically everything, you see it on a lot of custom scripts. And because of that, it's probably worth us talking, about a lot of the different aspects of Noble, and lots of different ways to think about the information you get, lots of different ways to use the information you get. I think one of the nice things about being the jack of all trades, starts knowing information, is that it can be played a few different ways, or at least you can use your information in a few different ways, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good segue into talking about. How should we play? How do you play the Noble? What are the things you think about when you have a Noble? What do you do?
And one of the best things about the Noble, why it's one of my most loved characters, is that there are a multitude of ways to play it. Some of which may be a little more correct than others, in my opinion, but a lot of them are valid. I mean, one of the things you see a lot of people do initially when they're getting into customs is, you know, somebody gets accused with an accusation of this player is in a noble pig something something, and, you know, just try to kill them. And I do think that is a very understandable impulse, because we all play this game to try to, like, deduce things, right, and figure things out, and not just shoot blindly, not just, you know, like, roll a die and whoever the number comes up on, we kill that person for the day. And so the Noble does offer insight into someone who might be evil. I would consider this the beginning or the training wheels version of Noble, because while that is true, if you take a, like, one step a little further back and you think about what's going on between the person claiming Noble and the three people in the Noble pig, those people are probably not that much more evil than the rest of the group. It does depend on player count and you know, a noble on seven players. Basically, it's two noble pigs, so it's a 50. There's like a 50-50. Half of one set contains the evil, half of the other contains an evil. When you get up to 12, it's like, well, there's like a 25% chance someone here is evil, which is pretty much the same as how just the distribution of tokens works. So I think that is an understandable thing to do, and I think it can be correct to include being a noble pig as part of an accusation, but it's not really evidence that someone is evil, I would say. So then you want to think about other things you can do with it, which, like, step two is, this is after this, we get into things that I think are totally valid ways to play the character. Because one thing that I've done before, other people, lots of people do, is you, as the noble, you check out your noble pigs. You ask them if they're, you know, willing to claim to you, tell them what's going on, get a feel for how trustworthy they seem to be. And you know that one of them is evil unless something went, you know, horribly wrong with your ability. So if you get a real feeling that, you know, these two seem good, this other one seems pretty sketchy, maybe you go after the one that seems sketchy and just go with your gut on which of these set of players is the evil one. And you see how that develops. And that's another way to sort of guide accusations, like, early.
Yeah, like many years ago, I used to play the noble a lot like that second way. Specifically on Scripts of the Lunatic, I would just go up and claim and bluff Lunatic to everyone in my noble things and see if any of them botch. And it was a decent way to cook up an early social read on someone who might be a minion willing to play along with a lunatic. It worked a few times.
My perspective on this question of, like, killing through the noble pings, because Molly talked about it a little bit, and I just want to kind of go back to it, because I think it's like the first impulse of anybody that gets information that says someone in here is evil. If you think about the three noble pings, let's say the noble comes out with their three pings on the first day, and you just, the first three kills you make are those three pings, right? In a 12 player game, we're just going to think about a 12 player game for a second. You have about, on average, you're going to have five executions, assuming nothing goes wrong, there's no multi killers, and you don't have a protection. So in a 12 player game, you've spent three of your five executions to kill one evil player. That's not a good return on your investment with the noble information. And so it's probably really important to think more deeply about how you're going to use that ability.
It's actually a little worse than that, because
it is, but
if that's how you're going with it, an evil player just puts a noble player plus puts three good players in the noble thing. If the group's just going to execute through the three noble things, then you've spent four out of your five executions, essentially, to clear this.
To get one evil player.
This doesn't tell you anything. You're relying on one player's information for 80% of your executions to get one evil player. It's probably been a waste of time.
And that's probably why, you know, Noble is, you know, that's sort of a good demonstration of how Noble isn't as powerful, directly powerful, as Investigator, right? An Investigator gets two people who are, one of them is evil. If you kill those two, you've killed an evil in your first, you know, you've potentially killed an evil in your first two kills. Certainly, if you kill the Investigator, you get one in your first three. So just, like, mathematically, you could kind of see the distinction between Noble and another starts knowing role, and how that information is a little bit less powerful. But the other side is that you know two of those players are good. So what are some different approaches Nobles can take that don't involve just killing through your information, or broadly, like, you know, kind of not using your information directly?
Well, I think there's another layer involved when you get to not, you know, not pushing on noble pigs right away. There's a different layer of what do other people know about your information? Because, like, and there's one completely valid way to play, which is, you know, just tell as many people as possible, as early as possible, that you're the noble and your noble pig is these three players, because that is helpful world building for everybody. People can internalize that information. They can start to build their own conclusions about it, and they can figure it out. You are also handing license to people to use that information in ways that they want instead of what you were thinking of doing. So you might go down this tunnel of, like, killing people because they're noble pigs if you do that, but it's always helpful to let other players on the good team know information. But there's another way to play, which is just keep it quiet for a while and sort of see what happens with your noble pink. See if like one of them gets on the block without you sure getting information like really early, and like they get 8 votes, and you can almost always write that off as a good player. You can see who dies at night. You can see who other people are pushing on independent of your information, and sort of like draw conclusions of you know, what is this town crier, fortune teller, empath, whatever else info as the game develops. What does that say about your set of three players when people aren't operating off the assumption that one of them is evil? The other thing about sharing really early is that evil teams tend to keep alive people who are in information, because if the demon kills into that information, it helps narrow those worlds kind of naturally, which isn't the worst thing with Noble, because again, two of those players are good. So keeping, you know, your two good players and one evil player alive isn't the worst thing, but it's just something to consider that when you give people intensive information of one of these people is evil, they're more likely to be kept around as potential frames by evil.
Yeah, I think my general approach as a noble it tends to be the hold the information and see until it becomes interesting to share, which has its ups and downs, but it can be really powerful sometimes. I played a game, I don't remember when, it was relatively recently, where over my objection, one of my noble things got executed day one. Then a second one was killed that night, and then day two, we executed the third one, and they were the leech. That was really clear information for the game. You know, if like two of your little things die pretty quickly, maybe look at that third one.
I also think it's worth thinking about that point that noble pings can die in the night if you don't give out the information. So sometimes it's worth holding the information for a little while. And, you know, if you hold your noble pings, there's only so many people on the Grim. There's only so many good players on the Grim, right? If you think about it, you're the noble. If you die, it's, you know, sort of whatever. But if, you know, one of your noble pings dies, then you sort of have an investigator ping in a way. So it can be kind of powerful for any one of your noble pings to die in the night. So it's worth thinking about that. It is powerful information to share with town. It starts knowing information, and that can help give town direction. But it works better when it interacts with other information, I think. Unlike some of the starts knowing information that sort of points you in a direction, that kind of anchors your worlds, noble information is more of clarifying information.
Yep, and it is worth also thinking about that a lot of scripts that are worth their salt do have reasons for evil players to die at night, but that could also be clarifying. Like if you have one noble ping left and, you know, town starts pushing on them, they start to figure themselves, and you just really get the feeling that, wait a second, this player is good. The things that they're saying make sense. Their defense seems genuine. That could also be really useful, because maybe that one that died at night, they could be vigor killed. They could have star passed, Fangu jumped. So there are, you know, additional things to always consider with what happens with your noble pigs. Another reason why it's the best character in the game.
I think Noble quite likes Oracle as a kind of interaction for that purpose. That, you know, there's often reasons for evil to die in the night, and if the noble and the Oracle can work together, the Oracle can help the noble clarify their information a lot as well. I also think Noble is one of the starts knowings that works best with information duplicators, cannibals, and phylos. Because the information is by necessity a little bit weaker, it can be spread out across the Grim to some extent. It can, like, you can double up on players, and it doesn't feel as bad as if you sort of double up with the investigator, because it's sort of confirmatory. So I think there's like things that you can do with the Noble and duplicators also that are interesting without being overpowering.
Well, we'll discuss that later, because I'm not sure I agree with that.
That's fine.
I think two sets of noble things, the difference between two sets of noble things and two sets of chef information is The chef information stays constant by nature, and means it's really not the end of the world if, like, a second chef number comes out. Okay, cool. Whereas worlds can collapse pretty quickly on the evil team if exactly one of these three players has to be evil and exactly one of these three.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would say Noble falls somewhere between Chef and Shugenja as far as, like, duplicative things. I think a duplicative Shugenja, let's not, you know,
right very powerful.
The original Shugenja, super, super strong. Noble somewhere in the middle, depends on, you know, storyteller choices and balance. And Chef, you're probably going to get the same number unless something really spicy has happened.
Yeah. One of the things the wiki suggests is to test multiple, like, in your world building, test multiple theories, you know, build worlds around, like, each of the people in your Noble information being evil. In practical worlds, I don't think I usually end up doing that, but what do the two of you think? Do you tend to, like, look at, like, the Noble pings as, like, I'll world build for each of these, or is that too much sort of thinking about different worlds? Is that too much processing? Is that too much possibility? And you sort of think about, okay, this person is the one I have the social read on, or, you know, something, you know, this person's claim seems stable. How do you parse the Noble's information when you're getting it?
I mean, I parse very little when I get it.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'll parse it much more later in the game. And at that point, I do think it does sort of make sense to say, what does it imply if player one is the evil one of my ping? What does it imply if player two is the evil one of my Noble ping? What does it imply if player three is my Noble ping? And the good thing about doing that a bit later is there's frequently going to be some sort of clarifying information that's come out at some point that makes you not have to bother with wondering whether player three is the evil one, because player three is clearly one of the good ones. I don't know. I think, like, world building can be tricky generally because you can sort of world build yourself into tunnels. And you can also world build yourself down dead ends. And you can also sort of world build yourself away from the actual solve by thinking through, like, sort of what I would call just so worlds, where, like, worlds that only make sense if every little thing falls one particular direction. Which I think all can be sort of distracting for the good team. But I think the Noble is something that you should do a little more of that with. I don't know, Molbach, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. When thinking about world building, I would say this is where Noble falls into the sort of jack of all trades, master of none, because, I mean, on TB, you know, you could wake up with a chef number on day two or day three, just look at the kills and executions and say, okay, here is by far the most likely spot for an evil in this chef information. Where I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case with Noble information as much. I do think it really depends on what other information people are claiming and how you combine that to an extent that Chef does a lot less. I think Chef can sort of solo carry some of those times. I will say that one of I've had success nailing demons multiple times with accusations that involve Noble in a different way, where if you world build that, okay, you're the Noble, you know that one of three players is evil, so you have a set of four people, one of which is evil. It includes you. So it's four people, one of which is evil. And if you can start narrowing down, okay, this person's good for this reason, this person's good for this reason, et cetera, et cetera, then you can say there are not that many evil candidates left. So I like Noble world building in the sense that it eliminates candidates from the pool of, like, maximal evil, because you know only one of them is, so you can find other evil sometimes more effectively when looking outside there and figuring out who needs to be evil by process of elimination. Whereas if you didn't have that Noble information, some of those people could be evil together, so it wouldn't be as easy to do that.
Yeah. Just a random follow-up and something Bulldog said that's completely unrelated to the controversy of this pop. So if we're ever playing a person and you see me just sort of standing over the physical board of tokens that are shown, the town square for the players, what In Trouble Brewing, what it means is someone has recently told me a chef number, and I'm staring at who's alive and who's dead, and solving the game. And I do mean solving the game. Like, doing this more times than not will tell me exactly who the demon is.
Yeah, chef Noble's solved, not quite chef that strong. No, Noble's not that strong. What do you think about the theory posited by, you know, some folks, and certainly regularly by our friend Jules, that you should just keep your three noble pings alive until the end of the game? They probably contain a minion, is the theory, and if you kill everyone else, then you've probably got the demon.
Yeah. It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
On, like, a meta level, on the meta level, the demon's probably not in the noble pings. They should be, but they're not.
Yeah, I think it can work. I've definitely been in games where, you know, if you're openly doing that, then the imp will start passing to the noble ping, and you just have all three alive as your final three. I have been in literally that game before. So
I've been in that game as well.
Yes, it might be the same game.
Same game,
of, but that is that is certainly a thing that can happen. It depends on the composition of the script exactly, but it is true that if they stay alive, then you can't be doing that badly as a town because there are two good players alive in there.
Two good players and one evil. Oop. Okay, we can't keep talking when I disconnect because I'm recording.
Don't worry, we stopped.
Well, anything else about playing as the noble? Is there anything else you're looking for, you know, sort of broadly, when you're looking at the characters that are in your ping or people outside of your ping?
I would say the big thing is you want to trace connections between people in your pings and people outside of your pings, right? If two players in your if someone's linked in some way to one of the players in your ping, you should raise an eyebrow a little bit. And it's not always true that it's going to be two evil players trying to back each other up. But it's going to be true, I think, a little more often than not, because I think storytellers are relatively conscious about trying to solve your noble ping for you.
I think sometimes you can have things like pixie pairs in a noble ping, but you're probably not going to have a grandmother or a steward in the noble ping.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, as a player, you should probably be aware that the storyteller, at a baseline level, they have in mind, you learn two frameable players and one player who, depending on the script, may or may not be expendable in some way, usually more expendable than not. And so I completely agree that seeing how, like, the game develops and what social blocks form with your noble pigs, with the other players in the game, can be really helpful.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about this. Well, this is per storytelling, the noble, which will come up later. I won't get into it now. Yeah. Anything else anyone has to say sort of about the playing of the noble?
No, I mean, like most of the Starts Knowings, it's a fairly straightforward, you know, you've got information, you know, when the information becomes relevant, you're going to try to use it to create a world and try to get someone killed with your information. Whether that's somebody in your ping, whether that's looking at connections outside of your ping, you know, broadly, Starts Knowing role, you know, fairly straightforward play pattern, I think.
Mobluck, any last words on how to play as the noble?
No, I think there are a lot of different and cool ways to play as the noble, and to just keep in mind that if you just go after every single pig, you're going to get to the end of the game with multiple evil players alive to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and very few executions to deal with them.
All right. Yep.
So let's talk about how do you bluff as the noble?
There's, I guess, two kind of broad approaches if you're an evil player trying to bluff as the noble. The first sort of general approach, very straightforward, put three good players in your ping. That's probably okay. You might run into problems with other confirmatory characters, but, like, all three of those good players aren't going to be confirmed. So, you know, stick all three good players in your play. I think that's probably like the good first impulse. If you're bluffing Noble as the demon or as the type of character that might become the demon or that has a potential to become the demon, you might want to think about bussing a minion in your Noble pings, putting an actual minion in your Noble pings. When they die, it might be confirmable that you've killed a Noble or an evil in the Noble pings, and that may help you. Having essentially true information.
Yep, I think it often does come down to, just the overall approach and theory of how demons play, how minions play. I think as a minion, especially if you're not one that's likely to inherit the demonhood, sticking three good players in and doing some evil world building off of that and saying, I think this is the most suspicious one, but being willing to change your story later and say, well, this one's still alive at this point, so maybe this was the most suspicious one. I think you could definitely get a lot of mileage out of that. I think you can run into the problem where, good players can realize they're good and unite against you. So that is less the approach to necessarily take as the demon, especially if you're just a demon that's going to stay the demon the entire game. Mm. At that point, you're probably leaning more towards the maybe giving true information and helping solve along with Tad. Like, oh, my first noble ping here, that's the evil one. So that means these other two players are good. And so you get on everybody's like good side because that, that minion that you're bussing, when they know you're bussing them, they're probably, they're not going to put up the fight that the good players are going to put up against you when you're trying to buss three good players like that. And so that's using it to like build trust and help town feel like you're helping to solve the game. There is a third way I witnessed recently, and it was from Emma. It's not something I've done myself yet, but I really loved it, which was as the demon, stick both of your minions in your noble pig and then just say, this is my noble pig. I don't want to kill into it right away or anything. Let's see what else is out there. And that way you can have some true information, bust an evil player, but also just keep all of them alive for a while.
Yeah, I think in like a technical artistic sense, the even better way to do that is to be a minion who puts your demon and a fellow minion in the noble ping. And then you can just be like, hey, yeah, one of these three players, I don't think we can like deal with this later. Especially in groups where that's become the meta, which is the meta for noble tends towards that over time. And then the minion in your noble thing can start looking a little evil, and that clears your demon by reference to being in a noble thing with them, which means never any reason to kill your demon. Wow, they're still alive. That's weird.
Yeah, but they were the noble pig that you outed, so evil didn't want to kill them, so that's why they stayed alive for so long. It's kind of perfect. And yeah. I do think that bluffing so meta dependent and where your group is at in a way that something like investigator is not. I think investigator, those people are going to get killed a lot of the time, no matter what sort of level people are on, because it's like, well, this is our early TP information about where evil is, so let's kill into that. And that is just something that very, very regularly happens, whereas that's not necessarily the meta with Noble.
Yeah, one of the first games I ever played with Molbuck, I was the investigator, or the demon who put my real minion in the investigator ping as their actual role. I don't think Molbuck's ever fully forgiven me for that.
I think the other part is, if you are putting other evils in your noble pings, which I do think is valuable, if you get outed as evil, it sure does make those other evil pings in the noble ping look real good, right? Like, it looks like you're trying to sell out good players, and I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. You always have to be careful when putting real evil pings in real evil fires. I think, I think on the one hand, it's a strategy that seems riskier than it is, but also when it backfires really badly. So, but I think with Noble, because Noble is not quite an evil thing, but also a good thing, it's a really smooth one. to smuggle some real information in, or extra real information in the case where you put two evils in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think also, like, know your teammates to some extent. Like, you know, I know that either Emma or Mullabok would be perfectly fine if I put them in Noble information or an investigator ping. Like, they would deal with it and they would be fine with it. And they'd understand. But if you're playing with newer players, you know, if you're playing with less experienced players and you're evil bluffing Noble, you know, make sure to let your teammates kind of know that you're going to do this with them. They probably want a chance to think about how they're going to respond. There's a play pattern I've seen a little bit from mostly evil players bluffing Noble, but some from good players with Noble pings. And that is drip feeding out the Noble pings. Like, oh, I'm the Noble. I have three pings. I'm only going to give you one today. And I kind of don't like that. I think Noble information drip fed in any context, but especially sort of as an evil player, it's not useful.
I have very strong feelings on this subject generally, so I'll let Mulbach respond to it first.
Yeah, I think if you're playing, I don't know, what I would call lowercase I investigator Noble, where you are sort of taking it upon yourself to try to figure out which of these three is the most likely to be evil and to try to push to get that person killed. In some ways, it does make sense for you to not out that because of the possibility that the other people in the ping will be framed. And so if you don't out at all, it does, you know, keep that possibility that the demon is just going to kill them because they don't know that they would, that those other noble pings would be good frames in that information. I don't know. I think over time, I'm guessing Emma feels similarly that it does. Like being in a noble ping is not an accusation because it contains one evil player and two good players. So without context, you can't really defend yourself against that except to point that out. And so I do think that if you're going to accuse people using your information like that, I think that drip feeding, it's just not as socially good for a lot of games, I think.
Yeah, I think it's not super socially good for games to drip feed information. I think it's frequently also strategically not good in the sense that a lot of the times when people are drip feeding information, it's not that they're keeping their information secret. It's that they've told some people and those people have told them they should, and they've agreed with those people to act on some part of their information and will hide in the rest, which... You've probably heard me say this on the podcast before. If you've told two people the truth and you're lying to everyone else, congratulations. You're helping the evil team and hiding information from your good fellow good players. And when you're bluffing, you shouldn't bluff in ways that act like that. Like, as a player, if someone tries to feed me, get me to act on information that's partial, incomplete, drip-fed, whether it's a noble or anything else, I'm not going to. I just won't. You're not going to get my vote on this player's in a fortune teller, yes, and I'm not saying who the other side is. You're not going to get my vote on my chambermaid information doesn't line up with these two players' claims, with this player's claim, but I'm not going to tell you who the other side is because I trust them. I'm not saying my vote. You're not going to get my vote on, hey, this player's in my noble ping and I think they're the good one, or this player's in my noble ping and I think they're the evil one, without telling me who the other two players are, because I might have independent reads on those players. And, yeah.
Yeah, drip feeding information's bad. It's just generally bad. And Noble's a really good example of why it's bad, because incomplete Noble information tells you that the same thing as one day of Balloonist information. This is a player in the game. It doesn't tell you that they're good. It doesn't tell you that they're evil. It doesn't even tell you that they're in a noble ping, because again, we're talking about bluffing a noble as a minion, so it could be a made-up noble ping. There's no way to parse a single person out of a noble ping independent of the other two names. You need all three names to either parse whether it's a made-up ping, it's a real ping. So if you're evil and you want social trust, give all three pings. It's as simple as that. It makes the bluff good, and if you're good, give all three pings, because the information's useless out of context.
Yep, I think going back to something Milk said a little bit earlier that I think is worth emphasizing a little bit more when you think about bluffing Noble is that it is very possible to run into this issue of players who are unlikely to be in Noble pings on Storyteller meta, such as players who are confirmed by a role like Grandmother, and Steward, things like that. The storyteller is sort of unlikely to duplicate pings on those players because combining that information, it's like at a baseline, it just becomes really obvious what's going on, and that could throw more suspicion on you when you do that. And so I would say that it can be helpful to try to get the lay of the land before coming out with your noble pigs that you're going to stick with, which goes nicely with the idea that, as a good player, you also have a lot of incentives to not share your noble pigs right away and see what happens to them. So I would say that way of playing is evil is I wouldn't necessarily view it as like suspicious on a baseline because it does make a lot of sense to play it that way is good as well.
I think Noble's a character that has lots of license to hide their information, which for the benefit of bluffing means you have a lot of time to think about what's going to be convincing information to give town that helps your team. So you don't have to run out of the gates with your information as the Noble. It's not actionable, which means you have a license to hide it.
It's not a bad bluff as a minion or as the demon to fall back into. Because it's a you start knowing role, it makes a nice fallback bluff where you can claim something powerful on the first day and then, be like, oh, I was actually just claiming that, because I was, I'm the noble. I already got my information. I was trying to make evil think I was a powerful role. And then on day two, you come out with your noble info and, it's a nice fallback bluff, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I think evil generally doesn't make enough use of fallback bluffs. Drifting from one claim to another claim is indicative of good players generally, because good players will lie a bit before backing into their true info. Bizarrely, like off the hop, like this is the part of 11 o'clock hour that no one predicted. The rule sheet says good players will normally tell the truth and eagerly share their information. You introduce the game to 12 new people, even ones who have never seen any Blood on the Clock Jar content, and they're all immediately being cagey and lying. Good players, it's good players who tend to back out of one claim into another. So, the fact that it's kind of a good tell, not universally, means that there's a lot of space to do it is evil, and Noble's a pretty good one to block back into for the reasons Milk said, where there's lots of reasons why the Noble might not particularly care about sharing their information quickly, and might want to draw a kill at night, which is a perfectly logical reason to claim something else than back into Noble.
And I think, especially for minions, this can be useful if you're not really sure what you want to do on the the first day of the game. So maybe you're just claiming a powerful townsfolk role, seeing if you can get into a double claim. The double claim doesn't kind of emerge really for you, or and you don't really want to necessarily look good, maybe. It sort of depends on how your strategy is adapting as you're playing. But if you're kind of looking to get into a double claim on the first day and you're claiming a powerful role and kind of nobody's in that, you can just drop back into Noble and say, hey, I'm actually not the Oracle. Maybe the Oracle bluff that you started with just wasn't that useful, for your team, you realized. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to switch to Noble. And you fall back into Noble and say, hey, I'm the Noble. I was bluffing Oracle yesterday. Here's my three pings. And now you've got town, you've given town a puzzle that's going to take up their processing power, that's going to take up their time talking about it. And, you've maybe disrupted them further, in an interesting way. And I think that's pretty useful, regardless of looking good or evil.
I often think of that good tell I mentioned in terms of layers, where if you're an evil player, there's a layer of lies that you have to do, which is you lie to claim to be a good player. That's just how the game works, and so you're on that layer of like I'm deceiving people by claiming this good role, and your attention is on that. Your attention is on the fact that you need to lie and claim to be a good character in order to help your team navigate the game. Whereas if you're a good player and you know confidently that you have this token, you have any information that you're given, then one layer of lies for you is to claim to be a different character and give out and, you know, do whatever you're trying to do, whether it's like soak up a kill or misdirect evil as to who's confirmed, who's not, etc. But that means that if the good players will retract their one layer of lies and go back to the truth, whereas when evil is lying, is one layer deep into lying, they're just going to stick with that. So I think that's why it could be that good tell. And so evil, to replicate that, needs to, you know, do an inception thing and go two layers deep and lie about being one thing while actually lying about being something else. And I think that's why when you don't think about it, that could easily turn into it. And yeah, noble is a great example of, and you have a reason to not share your information right away. You have a reason why you would do that as a good player. And so that would be a great time to flex your inception layers of bluffing, is to just back into noble later, explained that you just wanted to see what happened to your pigs, and that's why you kept the insistence of a noble quiet from town for a while. And like that's a playstyle that makes sense as a good player as well.
Yeah, bluffing in depth is an interesting strategy that I think probably doesn't get used all that much, because it is difficult to keep the layers, not difficult, but it can be taxing to keep the layers straight, right? Remembering that you're the fortune teller bluffing noble, or the noble bluffing fortune teller, rather, when you're actually the Serenovus, you know, it can be a difficult to pull off. But if you can pull it off, it makes you look good, because it makes you look like a good player who's dropped back from their starting bluff into their actual role.
I mean, I think more than that also, it's just that being evil can be scary. Being evil can make you, can be legitimately scary in Black Tower. Like and because of that, you just have a tendency to overthink and be like, okay, I need to have a stable bluff so I'll look good, because good players know their role, so I can just grab a bluff and say it. You don't.
Yeah. Good players do it all the time, right? Good players do this thing all the time where they're like, hey, I told you yesterday I was the whatever. I'm actually not the whatever, I'm the whatever.
Anything else we want to say about bluffing as the noble as an evil player?
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's kind of all I got. You can sometimes get into a little bit of trouble just kind of randomly ending up kind of picking some people who might have other information on them, or eliminating people as minion candidates, but not eliminating eliminating people as sort of kind of soft eliminating people as demon candidates. And sort of maybe making it more likely your demon gets hit. But, you know, put some information out there. Try to wait until you've got some reads on some people. You know, day two is a great day to come out with noble information. Fall back into it from another role. Pretty straightforward. I guess we should get into storytelling for this character.
Yeah, and I think the first thing we want to talk about is there is no noble script. We don't have whatever script it may or may not exist on in an official edition. Well, if you want to play games of the noble, you have to find a custom script. And luckily, you'll find plenty of custom scripts with the noble. Actually, I want to check some things on Botsy scripts.
Yeah.
Should have done this earlier. I'll get a vamp while I do it.
I could cut this part out.
Nah, leave it in.
Leave it in. They love the behind-the-scenes stuff. They love all this. They love all this banter.
How to make the sausage.
That's right. We forgot to look up some other scripts with noble on them. There's a lot.
I want to look at the statistics situation and see how high it up is noble on the custom characters, the experimental characters being used.
As we mentioned, it's very easy to get onto a script most of the time. It really doesn't have any like bad interactions.
The history of custom scripts is that for quite a while, noble was the you start knowing experimental character, and it was on a lot of custom scripts for this reason. The people were, you know, pleading, please give us more you start knowing information like this. We're, you know, we're starving, we're begging for it. And then we eventually got things like Shugeja and Knight Steward, things like that. And so I'm guessing that if you looked at the history, that Noble would take a significant dip when people were playing around with these other Eastart knowings that just came out. Although Noble could go on those scripts too, so maybe the dip wouldn't be quite as severe. But I think people were looking for just something else to do for a while there, but it might be evening back out now.
It probably doesn't love Shugenja, but
it's the fifth most common experimental character after Balloonist, Amnesiac, Cannibal, and Pixie on custom scripts. It's also behind Fortune Teller, Empath, Salted Philosopher. I thought it would be higher, to be honest.
I thought it would be higher, too.
There's 1,930 custom scripts out there with the Noble on it. 27% of all the custom scripts are loaded on the most common script database. It's pretty common. So, how do you find, what do you look for in trying to find a script that's going to give a good, interesting Noble experience and not a bad Noble experience?
I think something that's helpful for the Noble is to have a mixture of minions to point at or demons to point at that are flexible, that can escape, that Town might want to kill early, and so having them in Noble Pain gives Town a direction to kill them, that Town might want to leave, that might be okay with leaving for a while. Noble can really be pointed at anything, and so it's very flexible in terms of looking at evil teams, but you probably want evil teams that have a mix of quiet and loud roles rather than just sort of loud or quiet roles. It'll help to differentiate what is or is not in the Noble Pain.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think having those sort of roles that can help further develop that information into an eventual solve, or like several worlds that one of them is probably the solve, is really good. He talked about Oracle before. I think that's a really good example of like good synergy that can help combine Town information and also, if one of those is an evil bluff and one of them is a good role that's in play, to help sort of sniff out and maybe push back against one of those players being evil and giving out false information. I do think it's really helpful to have reasons for evil to die at night, so that it isn't as simple as if one person stays alive, they're evil. That is still going to often be the case, because most players who die at night are good. But sometimes they'll be evil on, you know, the right script. And I think it is helpful to add that layer of at least having questions or uncertainty.
Amp, figure, mm-hmm. Fangu, things that, you know, things that might not, you know, not die in the night. Yep.
I think, like, one thing I'd say is you want to avoid sort of the super loud evils, I think. Like your viziers, your psychopaths.
Oh, yeah.
Boom dandies.
That's great.
Because those
point.
Can be real awkward. And if, like, especially in a one minion game, just be like, okay, I can have a vizier or a noble, but I can't really have both.
Yeah.
Because it's really sort of making the noble more powerful than it should be in both directions, right? If the vizier is in the noble pings, now the noble is learning two good players plus the vizier.
Whew.
That's too strong.
If the vizier is outside of the noble pings, the noble is learning one of these three players is the demon.
Yeah.
Also, a bit tough, especially like in a seven-player game, you got three executions. If you have a vizier and a noble who didn't see the vizier, well, those are your three executions. And in a nine-player game, you can kill the noble, too, for good measure. I'd avoid the super louds.
I think also you probably want to have some things on the script. And most scripts have this to a greater or lesser extent. But you probably want some things on the script that are incentivized to hide their role or not claim right away. Demon Banes specifically fit nicely into Noble Pings, but also things like mutants, drunks, I think things that are really good in Noble Pings, pixies are interesting in Noble Pings, or the person that the, not the person the pixie's seeing, but the pixie itself. Things that are likely to be in double claims, things that are likely to need, you know, want to bluff, magicians. So I think there's things you can put into Noble Claims or to Noble Pings that aren't going to claim necessarily directly, are going to seem more suspicious. Players who are going to come across as more suspicious.
Yeah, I also think something like Leviathan, where you have, you know, this completely different experience. Noble works perfectly well with that because you can't chew through the information with executions because you'd be guaranteed to lose if you try to do that. But you could also it also helps build on that that puzzle solving of the good players need to combine all their information to figure out what's going on. And a noble can be like one piece of that that helps figure out where evil could and couldn't be.
Yeah. And I think the other nice thing about Leviathan with noble is this is segues to the other point I wanted to make, which is you want sort of reasons that the demon might be in the noble thing. And Leviathan itself is a good enough reason that the demon might be in the noble thing. Because of the execution pressure, sort of feeding the storyteller's fears that they're selling up the demon too easily. But I think stuff like Scarlet Woman, Imp, Barber, all Hatter, all work really nicely with Noble for that reason. Just like, especially if your players are going to start meddling, we never have to kill the Noble things because they're not the demon. Give yourself reasons to either put the starting demon in there or put players who can become the demon in there. Because that's not what the noble should be doing. The noble should have to confront the risk that one of their three players is the demon.
And nobles with nobles, especially, or not nobles, excuse me, you know, evils and especially demons with mobility, as Emma pointed out, are not only like fairly like able to dodge a noble ping, but a noble ping is probably going to come out in the first day or two. And there's a good chance town's not going to just kill into it immediately. So being in a noble ping isn't in itself going to get the demon killed, right? I think some storytellers are hesitant to put the demon in a noble ping even when they're able to move because they're worried that that's going to, you know, that's going to end the game early. Being in the noble ping is something the evil team has to work out. Like the demon being in the noble ping is something the evil team has to work out, but it's not something they can't work out. And they can do it in a lot of interesting ways. They can, you know, use resources to frame one of the people in the noble ping as the evil one. They can use poisoning to make that person get bad information, or, you know, use Serenovus madness to make them claim, you know, double claims or claim a role that, you know, is whatever. You know, there's a lot of things the evil can do, and they can always, you know, if you've got an imp who can star pass, if you got a Fangu who can jump, if there's a Scarlet Woman somewhere that the demon that can catch the demon, or a barber, etc. So I think it's like it's not something where you need to be worried that putting the demon in the noble ping is going to get them killed day one. Even if the town kills into the noble pings on day one, it's still a 1 in 3, you know, yeah. And that gives the evil team time to react.
On the sort of rare side of characters I don't think work great with noble. And it pains me because this is an interaction on my favorite custom script. But I don't think Noble and Legion go particularly well together. Just because if you use the recommended player distributions for a Legion game on less than 3 minions, the Noble has to learn the entire good team. And on 1 minion, they have to learn themselves. So it's sort of a tricky thing to include on a Legion script, I think. Well, like any other sort of red flags or white flag or go flags, use them for
green checker script, whatever they're.
I mean, I think that question of what is the right amount of potential duplication for Noble is really interesting. One of the first scripts I thought of for Noble was Milk Script Trust. Because it does have like interactions like Oracle. It also has how many noble pigs could you get by the end of the game in trust? Because you could have a noble that's executed for cannibal noble pigs. You could have a philo who goes noble for 3, and then you could execute the philo and have the cannibal go philo noble for a total of 4 total noble pigs. That's one of my personal goals, is to get as many noble pigs as possible into a game, because I think it's really fun information. It can It can be very world limiting. I think if a storyteller is like really on top of their game, they can pull it off. But if your storyteller has never been confronted with this situation before, it could threaten to spiral and solve the game.
I'll just say that I've on that script, I have given three sets of noble pings, one of which was true, and it wasn't the one that the player who saw noble had. The player who saw noble was the drunk. They got three pings. They got fed to the cannibal who got three pings. And then the Philo went noble and got three actual pings.
And also, you can also have a pixie who creates another set of noble pings.
That's true.
In fact, another two sets of noble pings if
True.
you're lucky.
And a
And this
Mazeppelis that makes one of those players evil somewhere in that chain of information.
that is a fun part of it, is you can have noble pings that change over time. You could have, a noble ping of three players and a noble ping of two of those players and one additional person, but the evil one has shifted in that time, and now it's the Mazeppelis turn player. I think that's fun, but there are a lot of silly things that can happen when you start printing nobles.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little about how to set up a good bag for a noble using our example script trust. So we have a noble.
Yes.
I don't know, what are some characters you think on this script pair well with a noble?
We were talking about the possibility of putting a demon in noble pings. Should we do that here? I think it might be interesting. We have an imp that can get out of them.
Sure.
Let's have an imp. Oh, sorry, Molly, we didn't explain to you how this works. We go one after the other.
Okay, my turn?
Your
Yeah.
turn.
Okay. Well, let's have an oracle because we were talking about that. I think that's a really fun interaction.
I think Oracle's a great choice.
I think politician's always decently interesting with noble, because they're a player who you have to worry about messing up the noble information.
I think I'd like to put in a. I was talking earlier about the potential strategy of maybe using the Cerenovus to make somebody in a noble ping look evil and potentially get them killed. So I think I'll put a Cerenovus in the bag. It's a way to deal with outed noble pings, you know?
All right. Controversial take, can put Recluse in the bag and think about whether or not to include them in the Noble Ping, which I think is a completely fine move, completely fine use of the Recluse's ability, especially on a lot of custom scripts. Recluse gets investigators on trouble brewing, and often Noble is the thing it can get to be its most damaging version of itself, whether or not there's an evil player involved as well. But so it's an interaction that some people really hate, but I think it's what recluses do, and it can and should happen.
I've selected Cannibal for reasons I will explain later.
All right. I am going to add a Ravenkeeper to the bag. Ravenkeeper is a really interesting interaction with Noble, where if Noble pings are left alive when the Ravenkeeper dies, it's actually directed information that the Ravenkeeper can go check. So rather than picking sort of at random or rather than picking without information, picking into a Noble ping not only gives you a piece of information, it clarifies the Noble's information as well.
I would say let's add a marionette. A marionette and a noble pig could be an interesting thing because they have, they start the game with the ability to like read socially good because they know what their token is, they know what their information is, and they're probably going to sound really genuine to people. So it is an interesting potential to worry about if one of your people that you saw is like a marionette and they seem like they're a townsfolk.
Why don't you
I'm
add
gonna
us
put
a
in
townsfolk
a.
token for it, Emma?
No, we'll do that last. I'll put in the general now.
Oh, okay,
The
sure.
general, I think, is a curious little creature. And I think curious little creatures work really nicely with the noble.
I'm gonna add the mayor. One of the reasons why I want to do this is because I think in Trouble Brewing, you often find storytellers hesitating to put the mayor into investigator pings. I think the mayor in an investigator ping is often just not going to be trusted. It's going to be too likely that they're an evil player. And in a game with a noble, you're going to have to think hard about whether you want to put that that mayor into the noble pings or not. Putting a mayor in the noble pings could make them look suspicious, could make them look evil, but it could also frame them as, or it could also like clarify that they're good. So it's an interesting interaction.
All right, what do we got left here?
Two more townsfolk, Millbuck.
All right, let's go for Monk, because I think Monk, as with Investigator in Trouble Brewing, Monk is a really interesting one to think about whether you frame or not, because they get much more annoying with their potential to save people as time goes on, but they're also a pretty tempting frame for both evils and for a storyteller, because they're just, you know, picking a player every night, usually it doesn't work, so they're usually not mechanically contributing very much in the early game.
Yeah, the number of games I have won by trolling the demon into trying to frame me as the monk and then protecting the player they need to kill going into final three works like a charm every time.
It's nice and strong.
For a final character, I would like to put in the philosopher.
I think so.
For reasons I'm going to explain later.
Of course.
Well, this is an interesting grim because, of course, our marionette is the politician. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Or it's the philosopher.
That's the politician.
Yeah, we'll go poly for this, I think. Emma really wants to do something with the politician, or with the philosopher and the noble, probably to teach me a lesson.
No. Let's say you have a friend like this. What are you doing with your noble things?
This is a hard one in a couple of ways. Because the minions are clustered with the demon, it is a little bit, you know, It is a little bit interesting to think about. I think a place where people will often put a noble ping is on something like a Raven Keeper. I think the Raven Keeper seems like the kind of character we can put in a noble ping here, because the Raven Keeper can maybe be suspicious. Maybe the town, you know, maybe the evil team is going to avoid killing them or figures out that they're the Raven Keeper. So they might be around for a while naturally. Putting a Raven Keeper in a noble ping is interesting because if they die in the night and then they claim some information, the demon, you know, they could be the imp who's star passed and is just making up Raven Keeper information. So I'd be inclined to put the Raven Keeper in the ping probably.
Yeah, I am probably looking at maybe the general or the oracle for the other good ping. The fact of the matter is with this setup that unless your third ping is on the recluse, people might be tempted to think about marionette things. And I guess maybe that's a reason to make the evil one, like the Serenovus, because they're next to the recluse, or people are thinking about marionette things, they can just say, oh, well, they could just be the marionette next to the recluse, etc. But okay, so if we feel okay about that, then I might go to the general instead. It depends how threatening I would feel like the oracle is to just like nail the evil team on marionette potential. But having the recluse in this type of line might make it work fine.
Yeah, I sort of like this. I think this is nice and solid. Okay. Now you've thought about all this. You've set up this bag. You start to wake people up. And greedy little seed four, the philosopher, says, I don't care that it's night one. I'm doing this.
Oh, look, a Philo Noble.
What do we do here?
So a simple thing that you can do for the drunk noble, we should go ahead and put the Philo drunk token down there real quick. A simple thing we can do to disrupt the pings that we currently have is simply give them to the Philo noble instead, and then come up with a different set of pings for the drunk noble. Right, we have a set of noble pings that we're pretty happy with. We could just give those to the noble and then give the drunk noble some different pings. I would probably include. I might include the recluse in those pings. That's on a theory that I have that sometimes drunk information, instead of just being like objectively bad, should be really useless. And it might make town think that the information is useless, or it might make town chase the information, but it'll create an amount of sort of distrust in the information.
Yeah, this is this is activating the spicy storyteller mode of my brain, where I really, you know, I want to give this Chuck Noble, like, the recluse, the imp, and the philosopher. I just say, good luck with this information. It's true, but good luck.
I was thinking that as well, and I actually think it's kind of interesting to put the philosopher, the Serenovus, and then maybe the recluse in the ping even. The Serenovus is then in both pings. The recluse is in the regular noble's ping, and the philosopher is in the regular noble's ping, potentially framing someone who is also in the regular noble's ping.
Yeah, I think these are all really good ideas. I think you're unlikely to run into this situation very frequently, because philosophers normally won't be this greedy.
Every once in a while.
But I did want to talk about how to give misinformation to a noble, and this was the only way I could do it. Well, there's another, but this was the easiest way.
It might happen more frequently if a philosopher goes cannibal and drugs a cannibal, just something I see happen quite a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think but all these ideas are good. I think also something that the dark part of my brain went to was Reckless Marionette.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that too. I thought of that as well. That's a fun one. I like the funnier thing of showing both of them the same person, you know, but I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Or even better, we could have moved one of the Philo Noble's pings onto the noble themselves. And then we have the noble claiming to have the Philo in their ping, the Philo claiming to have the noble in their ping, and that creates a, I don't know if it's an interesting interaction, but it could be fun.
Yeah, I think I like about putting the Serenovus in twice is, again, this really depends on what meta your players are at, but in the meta I see is that when somebody is in two noble pings, they're good. So this would be a way to mess with that.
Yeah. Now, of course,
okay.
This
is all super fun. Day one, of course, our poor noble gets executed. And someone dies. Let's say the monk dies to the imp.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have to make some more noble things now. Well, what do we do here with our cannibal noble, who is sober, by the way?
Yeah, we've got a sober cannibal noble. We can still give them kind of some useful information. We can give them disrupted information. Anything we give them is going to be useful in some way. But one thing we can do is show three players and include one of either noble or Philo noble. Probably not the noble himself. We could include the Philo noble in this ping and overlap the ping again with another set of players. Maybe the imp, maybe the politician, you know. There's lots of things we could do. We could show a completely fresh set. We could show the imp, the mayor, and the oracle. That would be fine, too.
That was, honestly, that was the exact one that I was thinking of.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely one, because now we've got a completely fresh set of noble pings we can give out. And it does include the imp, but they don't know which of these sets of pings includes the imp. They don't know that one of these is wrong, right? They don't have any idea what's going on. They might kill the Serenovus, right? Because they're in two noble pings, and surely that's right. But they're also going to know that one of the noble pings is drunk if they're both true.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably mayor, imp, and oracle.
That seems fine to me. All right.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything else to really say. I mean, I think that's kind of a fun exercise. I don't know that there's anything more
tiny question using Nerves of the Able Room, because we can do this sort of thing.
Sure.
Just going to switch a little token placement.
I'm just going to be honest and say, doing this with one of my scripts, this is the first time we've done this with one of my scripts, and it makes me super uncomfortable. I don't know why.
All right. What do you give this noble?
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's really good, Emma. Oh, I love that so much. What do you give that noble?
Look, my first impulse is always going to be, can I show them the Recluse of Serenovus and the Imp? And will that be okay?
I really want to do it. But I don't think that's necessarily helping the evil team, but it could. And the Imp can get out of it, right? The Imp can star pass to get out of it.
The answer to that question is not always going to be yes. But if you're going to give three good players, and if the philosopher is unspent at that point, then I'd probably be looking at something like the original Ping, but maybe throwing like the monk in there instead of an evil player as one way. I mean, it's always really tempting to put a recluse in a marionette's noble thing because it does obscure the noble's alignment, and it's usually like the recluse in this outsidery way of, you know, we're giving you a lie, but it's a lie a good player could get.
I think the scary thing here about giving Imp Serenovus Recluse is that there is an unspent philosopher, and that unspent philosopher could get fed, could take noble and then get fed to the cannibal, and you've kind of given away a lot of what you can do with the pings. Now the noble, the Philo could certainly get the noble, like the Philo could be shown the noble marionette in their ping, and that's fine. But I think the thing to be worried about is just not being able to spread out the pings when you know it's possible for you to get so many.
Yeah. Any sort of last thoughts on storytelling the noble from anyone?
I think storytelling the noble, it is sort of a know your players, know the meta situation. If you know your players, like, go after noble pings, you just do the classic thing of showing two frameable players and a minion that it's fine to die and you're good. If your players are of the noble pigs, the final three variety, then you have a lot of a lot of leeway to think about, including demons. It's going to depend on what demon type you're putting in the bag also, but yeah, very, very meta-dependent decisions for me when I'm thinking about what to do with noble.
For me, I think I want to stress this a little bit, which is, I think if you're a newer storyteller that's done, you know, you've done a bunch of the base threes and you're starting to branch into customs, I think scripts with noble on them, like noble is going to be a character that's not going to cause you a ton of trouble, right? Noble's going to be a character where, unless you have a bunch of duplicators on script, you know, you're going to be able to give out those pings. You put it on two frameable players and then on a minion the first time you use it. And you're going to be able to sort of use it to learn a little bit about custom scripts, custom characters. You know, if you're a new to custom storyteller, I think looking at scripts with noble on is going to be helpful. I think that's a character that's really approachable.
Yeah. I definitely agree that the noble is ultimately, you have to understand the meta your players are going to be in. And you should try to generally shift that meta if it's in an alpha unhealthy place. But you also want to create fun games while you're doing so. So if they're kill everyone noble pings, probably don't stick the demon in them. Yeah.
If your players start sort of dodging killing the noble pings, maybe start thinking about putting escapable demons.
Even non-escapable demons.
Yeah, I just meant like in the process of learning, right? You start out by putting minions in the noble pings, then you put escapable demons, and then later, if you feel comfortable with it, put an unescapable demon in your noble info.
Any last words on the noble from anyone generally? Other than Bullabox saying it's the best character in Clock Tower.
Best character in Clock Tower.
Cool. It's a cool character. It's fun to pull. You get information that, you know, is broadly useful, and it's more useful than just, oh, I've got to push on these two people, or oh, I've got to keep this person alive. And it's a great token I love to pull.
All right, then. Lullabok, this is your time to plug anything you want to plug. Say where people can find you, etc.
All right, well, you can find me. I am occasionally the streamer on the Connecticut Blood on the Clock Tower stream on Friday nights. That's U.S. time, of course. Also play on the Sunday TPI stream sometimes, and also am a discussion moderator on the unofficial Discord, where we talk about various and sundry things, especially how weird rules interact, which can be either a good or I want to pull my hair out time. So if you're into that, come on over.
Thanks, Molly. We appreciate you, buddy.
Well, with that, I guess we're going to wrap our discussion of the noble here. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. And of course,
may your scenarios stay grim. We'll see you.
Good night.